Well, thank you, praise the Lord. I want to thank him again tonight for this opportunity to be here preaching the very gospel by which I got saved. I just want to give the Lord a hand clap of praise because he deserves it tonight. He's worthy of it. He's worthy to be praised tonight, my friends. He's worthy of it, Lord. You're worthy of it, Lord. I want to give him praise and glory now. I want to thank him once again for this high calling. I believe I received a high calling tonight. I believe it's a privilege to preach what I'm going to preach tonight. And I'm going to preach on a subject that's not going to make me popular. I'm going to preach on a subject that a lot of you out there tonight that are listening to this is probably going to say, I don't want to know who this preacher is because he's preaching something hard. Well, I want to tell you something tonight, my friends. This might be a hard message, but it's a powerful message. It's a true message. The message of this message is hope and love. And I hope somewhere in between, I hope whether you're lost or you're saved, you get something good out of this. So I want to preach tonight about a topic called Heaven or Hell, Just As You Choose It. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I thank you for salvation. Lord, I thank you for the saving hand of grace of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that he saved me, Lord. When I was on my way to a devil's hell, and I had no hope in this life, Lord. Lord, there's no hope in a church, Lord. As I was lost, Lord God, and I was crying for mercy. Lord, I want to thank you for that day 7 years ago when you called me your own, and I knew you, Lord. I want to thank you for that day, Lord. Thank you for the day you found me, Lord, out of that pit, Lord. Lord, thank you for not just finding me, but Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you reached your hand down for me, Lord, and you grabbed a hold of me, and you said, I'm your own. I want to thank you for it, Lord. Yeah. Father, it's because of that day, Lord, that I can even preach. And Lord God, I just give you the praise and the glory now. Lord, I ask for your hand of blessing, Lord. I ask, Lord God, that you work on hearts, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, as they hear this sermon, Lord, I pray they will not hear my voice, but Lord, may they hear the voice of Jesus. Lord, he's the risen Savior I want to proclaim. I don't want to preach myself, Lord. I want to preach Jesus tonight, Lord. So I thank you once again for allowing me to preach it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, like I said, I'm going to start talking about heaven or hell, just as you choose it. I want to start tonight just by discussing for a few minutes, if I may, before I get to the scriptures. I want to say heaven tonight is something famous to talk about. Heaven is a very popular subject these days. Heaven is talked about all over the newspapers and all over the news. You always hear people saying, when I get to the other side, I'm going to do this. And they always say at a funeral, you always hear preachers preach about heaven. You never hear a preacher walk into a funeral and start preaching on the other side. But they'll always preach heaven, whether or not that person in that grave was a dead sinner or a live sinner. It don't matter. They're still going to preach the same exact message. And they're preaching on heaven. In fact, a lot of preachers are telling people, you're going to heaven. All you got to do is show up to my church on Sunday mornings, and you're going to heaven. And heaven tonight, my friends, is not just popular by preachers. But it's even popular by the media. See, the television channels have come up with television shows like Seventh Heaven. This show's about a preacher in a Methodist church who has 7 kids, I believe it is. And each one of these kids had their own problems. But I'll never forget the episodes where the second to the youngest daughter got herself involved in so much a deep sin. No faith in God whatsoever, but yet she's preaching behind a pulpit. And I sit back and I sit there and I think to myself, what for message is that telling the world? What is that telling our young women in this country? That's telling our young women, hey, live like the devil and preach behind a pulpit. But I'm here to tell you tonight, women, if you're living like the devil, this goes for men, you ain't got no place behind a pulpit. First of all, I don't believe women have a place behind a pulpit in the first place. But I'm just saying, a woman don't have a place telling anyone about Jesus when she's living like the devil. on the outside, but I just want to say this. There's also a popularity going around on TV called Touched by an Angel. You can just imagine what that show's about. Then I think about the craving going on for angels. I mean, I see a lot of women every day going into stores, and they walk into stores, and you know what they're buying? They're buying these little ceramic angels, and they're putting them up all over their house. Oh, they got them all over their house. And you know what they tell you? My house is holy. I got angels in here. Well, you could have all the angels you want, but your house ain't becoming holy. The only way to get your house holy is by knowing the one who makes your house holy. And his name is Jesus, my friend. Now, I just want to tell you tonight, I don't believe there's anything wrong with a woman or a man wanting to put some angels in their house. But I think there's something wrong when they begin to worship them. And they begin to think those angels are making their house holy. Now I got something wrong with that. I got a huge problem with that because now it's become idol worship. And I got a huge problem when they're welcoming women angels. Well, let me tell you something, my friends. The Bible makes it clear they were male angels, no female angels. And that's not going to make me popular tonight. Because I know there's a heresy going around right now. I know there's teachers going around saying, well, you know what? God was a woman, so angels were women. Let me tell you something, my friend. God is a male, masculine gender. And that means his angels are masculine genders. So stop running around after your feeble mind or your feeble preachers who are trying to itch your women ears. You don't need it no more. What you need to hear is you need to hear the facts. And I'm going to tell you facts tonight from the Word of God. I'm going to preach on the facts from the Word of God. And I'm going to preach heaven. And I'm going to preach hell. And if you're lost tonight, my prayer is that you find Christ and you get found tonight. And my prayer, if you're found, my prayer is that you get so on fire for the Lord that you begin to preach Jesus every day of your life until you die, till you go meet him in the air. That's my prayer for you tonight. Whether you're lost or where you're found, it don't matter one way or the other. One of you tonight are going to get blessed. I'm hoping you're going to get blessed by this sermon. So I'm going to start reading tonight out of John chapter 14 and verse number 1. And start looking at heaven. The Word of God says here, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I want to start off by saying, number one, heaven is a rich place. You say, how do you get that, preacher? How many poor folks do you know live in a mansion? Mansions represent rich. Well, do you know why it's rich tonight, my friend? It's not rich because anything you did. It ain't rich because, well, I built up all my wealth of this earth, and I'm going to carry it with me when I go to the other side. No, my friends, that's not why you're rich in heaven. It's rich because it's glory, because it's beautiful, because it was prepared for Christ. It was prepared for royalty. And let me tell you, Jesus is royalty. He's the one it was prepared for. But do you know something else tonight, my friends? Heaven's not only a rich place, but heaven is a prepared place. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. I like it that he said he goes to prepare a place for you. That word you is speaking to a large audience. See, in the King James Bible, when it uses the word thee, thou, thy, it refers to one. But when he used the word you, ye, you, your, it's referring to a large group of people. Now, the large group of people he's talking about here is everyone in the whole world. I'll tell you something, my friends. There's a teaching going around tonight in the churches that say, well, God made heaven for certain ones. God made heaven for only us chosen people. Only us predestined, elected people. We're the ones that get to go to heaven. But I think that's contrary to what Jesus said here, don't you? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Let me tell you something, my friends. If you're listening to the sermon, you are the one he's talking to. He's saying, I go to prepare a place for you. See, heaven's not only a rich place. Heaven's not only fit for a king. But heaven is also a prayer place. And let's look at verse number 3 and see what he says here. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Number 3, I'd like you to see, heaven is a place where a king dwells. So you're not going to walk into heaven and just see an old prince that has no idea what he's doing there. You ain't going to walk into heaven and say, well, I'm so glad I'm here. Let me see what the score is in the Super Bowl. You ain't going to be able to walk into heaven and say, hey, it's the World Series. Turn on the TV. Well. What you're going to do in heaven is you're going to find the king, and you're going to bow down to him, and you're going to worship him as Lord, and you're going to give him glory. Day and night before the throne of grace, you're going to give him glory. See, the only difference between us and the unsaved is when we die, we get to glorify our Savior in heaven. The unsaved, they get to glorify our Savior as well, but they're going to glorify him in hell. Let's think about this just for a second tonight. As I talk about this glorifying this king, we think here that as we're going to honor and glorify this king, we're going to bow down to this king. You know what? You know the only thing about saved people in heaven? The saved people in heaven, yeah, they're saved by his mercy and grace. But the only thing you're going to find in heaven are saved people who know this king. So there's a lot of people going around the world today. Heaven's not like America. You can walk down the streets of America and say, hey, Jesus said don't steal. And a lot of young people say, who's Jesus? And a lot of people have no idea who he is, yet they use his name. Oh, you'll always hear the name being mentioned, but the person they don't know. They'll say, I don't know that Jesus. But in heaven, all sinners know Jesus. Heaven's not like America. You can walk down one place in glory and walk up the street the next place in glory, and all the people there say, I know Jesus, and I'm glad I'm here to worship him. Yeah. I'm glad he saved me. And he's going to get glory, I'm telling you one. I'm telling you what, my friends. Jesus will get glory in heaven. In fact, the Bible says every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You're going to give God the Father glory one day. You say, folks, listen to this. You will give God the Father glory one day because you're going to bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're going to confess him as Lord. And what a day that will be. Oh, there's a song that we sing in church. It's called, What a Day, when we all get to heaven. It goes, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout. Yeah. The victory. I'm going to shout it tonight, my friends. I'm going to shout on the housetops. I'm going to shout on the rooftops. I'm going to shout it for you right now. Jesus is Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He's worthy to be praised tonight, my friends. But now let's talk about the other place. We're going to talk about the other place. This place right here, folks, is not a popular place. You don't hear a lot of people preach on this subject anymore. People are afraid of it, I think. In fact, I heard a preacher tell me, every single preacher in the world ought to preach on hell at least once a month. Yeah. At least one sermon a month, a preacher ought to preach on hell. And I'll tell you right now, it might help churches out a lot if they were preaching on hell a lot more than what they are. A lot more church folks would be out there preaching Jesus on the street because they'd be scared to death about their friends and their coworkers, their loved ones going to hell. But you know, my friends, we don't find that happening. But let's read here in Luke chapter 16. The Word of God says here in verse number 19, the Word of God says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. I want you to realize something tonight. This was a man who was rich. This was a man who had all the worldly goods. He had everything the world had to offer. Oh, yeah, he had all the world's money. He had all the world's popularity. He had everything the world could give him. But he lacked one thing. He lacked peace in his heart. He lacked knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. The word of God goes on and says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates, full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs from the rich man, which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Tonight, I want to tell you something, tonight, my friends. This rich man wouldn't give this beggar a second look. A lot of us in there are doing the same thing to black people, aren't we? We see blacks on the street, we say, oh, no, I don't want to talk to them. They're not the same color as I am. Maybe it's a different race you don't like. Maybe I know what it is. Maybe they're Indian. You don't like Indians. A lot of people look at Muslims. They don't like to talk to Muslims. Let me tell you tonight, my friends. I don't care what nationality you are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what color you are. The Lord Jesus Christ loved you the same way he loved me. And there's the same sinful blood that runs in you is running in me. There ain't no difference between you and me. Let me tell you something, my friends. His blood can wash you clean like it washed me clean. There's no room for prejudice when it comes to Lord Jesus Christ. There's no room for it tonight, my friends. So why are we running around prejudice? Why do we have churches locking out black people and won't let them in? I think it's a shame. I think they need to have a serious encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and realize who he was. Because remember, he talked to the ones that the Jews wouldn't even talk to. He went to the Samaritan woman. He talked to her when no one would even speak to them. But he talked to them. Let's go on here and read verse number 21. As we see here in verse number 21, we see that it says, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, more of the dogs came and licked his sores. Here it is, poor beggar. All he wanted was crumbs, and all he got was a bunch of dogs named Crumbs. Wow. All he got was a bunch of dogs for the rich man. That tells you how much compassion this rich man had on his fellow man. He had so little compassion for his fellow man that all he cared about was, I'm going to give you. Well, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you my dogs. The dogs didn't come out and pick him up, bring him inside. No, he made sure those vicious dogs went out there and attacked him. He had those dogs went out and attacked him, and they licked his sores. Now, verse number 22 says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. See here, the rich man was not carried by angels. It doesn't say that in the Bible, does it, my friends? What it says was the rich man died and was buried. Like, my friends, the rich man was buried because he went to hell. As you see here in verse number 23, it says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Number one, I want to tell you tonight, the first thing you're going to notice about hell is torment. Hell is a place where torment will happen all the time, day and night. There will not be one day that goes by that you will not be tormented in hell. Let me tell you something, my friends. Torment is not just a one kind of torment. It's a lot of, there's a lot of torments involved. You notice it says torments, not torment. Notice here, number one, the first torment going on in hell is the Bible says the fire is not quenched. Hellfire is not quenched. Hellfire will never be put out. There's no fire company down there in hell that you call 911 and have come out and set a fire. Have a set a fire team out there and set out the fire. My friends, that fire will never be quenched. That fire will burn day and night. It will burn every little piece of skin that you got on your body over and over and over and over and over and over again. And another thing I want you to know, hell, torment of fire, never stops. We can handle almost anything in this day and age if we know it's going to stop. But you can't handle hell knowing it's never going to stop. Number two, torment going on in hell. Because you're going to be tormented by devils. Imagine this, my friends. Imagine being a place for a lot of horror and a lot of terror going through your eyes, because there's no run, there's no escaping. You ever hear the old saying that says you can run but you cannot hide? Well, downhill you can't even run, because downhill you can't run and you can't even hide, because down in hell the devils know where you are, and the devils are going to catch you, the devils are going to find you, and the devils are going to beat you day and night. The devils are going to beat you with every lustful thought that you had on the earth. The devils are going to whack you. The devils are going to torment you day and night. Yeah. Number three, you're going to be tormented by your sin. Sin was made to look pleasurable on the earth. You never see a billboard with a cigarette sign saying, smoke this, and this is what happens to you. And it shows a brain being disintegrated. You'll never see that on a billboard. You never see a billboard which would have the picture of a booze bottle, which says, drink this and this could happen, with a picture of a car and it crashed into a wall and the people's face is bleeding and it's killing other people. You'll never see that on a billboard. Oh, but you'll see naked women, half-naked women sitting on a billboard holding up a can of booze. You know why? Because that's desirable. They're out there to make cigarettes, alcohol, all the sin in the world looks so desirable. But see, down in hell, it's not desirable no more. Down in hell, it's torment. Down in hell, you're going to want them cigarettes, but it ain't never going to come. Down in hell, you're going to want the booze, but it's never going to come. Down in hell, you're going to want the sex, but it's never going to come. Down in hell, you're going to be screaming for it, but it's never going to come. Right. Number four, you're going to be tormented by the lack of love and compassion. There's no love and compassion going on in hell, my friend. No one down there cares why you're there. Nobody's going to be giving you a hug saying, I'm sorry about this. I'm sorry about this, man. I wish there was something I can do. You know what the devil's going to be saying down there to you? He's going to be laughing at you day and night. He's going to be saying, oh, what a fool you were. You believed me. I'm the father of all lies, and you rejected Jesus, and you asked me to come in your life. Number five thing you're going to be tormented from. Think about this. You're going to be tormented by worms. Jesus didn't just say the fire is not quenched. Jesus said the worm dieth not. Tonight, my friend, that worm will be literally crawling throughout your skin. And as that worm crawls through your skin, it eats at your intestines. It eats at your body. Every single part of that worm is going to eat at you. And you're going to feel it. And this worm, you can't hit. You can't hit and kill it. There's no killing these worms, my friend. And it's not just one worm. It's thousands of worms. Thousands of them crawling away at you, eating away at your body. What a sad state you must be in. Let's go on and see here something. He says, he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Number six, you're going to be tormented by the flame. But I want to share this with you. The number two thing going to be happening in hell, besides torment, is there's going to be a lot of praying going on in hell. We see here that the rich man cries out and says, Father Abraham. He's crying and he's praying at the same time. He's crying and his tears are never going to get wiped away. He's crying and he's begging Abraham to send Lazarus back. Just to dip the tip of his finger that he had the dogs lick up in water to cool his tongue. But tonight, my friends, I want you to notice there's no water there. Look at verse number 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. I want you to notice Abraham didn't say, Look to your left or look to your right, rich man. There's the water. Abraham said, thou art tormented. Now I want you to think tonight, when you're in hell, your prayers are not being answered. I heard this one tape one time, and I heard a girl in prayer. She was begging God to have mercy on her, and she was in hell. She was begging God to have mercy on her. And I just think for a second, this girl could have been a young girl begging for mercy, and mercy's not coming. Tonight, my friends, if you reject Jesus on this earth, that's it for you. There's no second chances after death. That's it. Death becomes the final chance. When you take your last breath, my friends, regardless of how you do it, it don't matter if you're shot, it don't matter if you're stabbed, it don't matter if you die in old age. When you take that last breath, that is your last chance at determining where you're going to spend eternity. The choice is in your hands, my friends. The choice has always been in your hands. You might say, preacher, if God prepared a place for me, and it's heaven, then why would he send me to hell? Folks, God ain't sending you to hell. Folks, you're choosing to go to hell. I want you to notice number three about hell. Hell is chosen. Hell, he chose to go to hell. He made the choice to reject the good things on the earth. He made the choice to accept the evil things. If you're out there at night and you're making a choice to accept the evil things and reject the good, don't look at God on that day and say, Lord, why are you sending me to hell? Because it's too late then. God's going to say, I'm sorry, but I'm not sending you there. You made your choice. I know sometimes mothers and fathers like tell their children, you made that bed, now go lie in it. Well, that's basically what God's going to tell you. You made this bed, now go lie in it. And I'm telling you tonight, my friends, if you're choosing hell, you don't know what you're choosing. If you say, I'm choosing heaven, there's only one way to get to heaven. And that's what I'm going to get to tonight after we're done talking about hell. But I want you to notice number four about hell. Number four about hell is a place of remembrance. Hell's a place where you'll always remember. You'll always remember something. Listen to what he says. He says, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. No, I'm sorry, I got to go on before that. He says, and he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, meaning Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. See, he remembered his family, which was unsaved. He remembered his family because he realized it was too late for him. Now he remembers his family. But you know what he remembered about his family? He didn't remember, oh my gosh, what was my family's name? He didn't say, oh my gosh, when was their birthday? He didn't say, I wonder what they got for their birthday present. I wonder by what they got my father or Father's Day gift. I wonder what my mom's wearing to bed every night. No, you know what he's saying? He's saying, I know they're not saved. And I want them saved. Why is that lacking in our churches today? Why are not people in the churches going to the altar saying, pray for this person of my family. They're not saved. They need Jesus. Why are we as the Christians lacking this part? But the people in hell are praying day and night for their families to get saved. There's a lot of prayer going on in hell, but there's a lot of less prayer going on in the churches. That's a real shame, my friends. That's a shame when you find more prayer in hell than you do in church. Amen. When there's preachers going on preaching, and they're preaching the Bible, but yet they're not even wanting to give one moment of testifying, not even one moment of prayer for the saints. But hell, as sinners down there in hell, burn in torment, who are praying day and night for their loved ones. Why aren't the Christians going day and night before the throne of grace praying for their loved ones? I'm going to tell you something tonight, my friends. There's a reason why they're not down there on their knees praying for them. And I think it's because they don't love them enough. You loved your family. You wouldn't care what your family's doing for Thanksgiving. You loved your family. You care if that family was saved. I love my family. And I feel bad when I don't pray for them. But my prayer for my family isn't, Lord, give my family a good life. My family is, Lord, save them. Because I don't care whether or not they're perfect or whether or not they're honorable. I only care if they're saved. I want to see them go to heaven. But number four, I want you to realize something tonight. Hell is eternal. Hell's never ending. We see here that the rich man realized it was too late for him. Hell is eternal, my friends. Some of you out here tonight, some of you think hell's temporary. Hell goes on for a little while, and hell goes on for a season, and it's over. Some of you out there tonight are going to church tonight thinking, well, there's a place I can go to, and God's going to send me out of it. I'm going to go to hell for a little while, and people are going to pray me out of there. But I'm here to tell you tonight, my friends, hell's not like that. Hell is permanent. There ain't no purgatory in hell, my friends. Purgatory ain't there. Purgatory's in hell. Purgatory is alive from hell. Hell is an eternal place. And hell is going to burn you. Whether you like it or not, hell is going to burn you. But I got some news for you people out there who want to go to hell. Before you go, you will bow and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. You will do that. Now I want to go back to John chapter 14, if I may. And in closing, I just want to share with you the way to get to heaven. Jesus, in John chapter 14 again, he continues on his saying about heaven. He says, and whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Verse number 4. Verse number 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? What a question Thomas had to ask him. Lord, we don't even know where you're going, so how can we even know the way to get there? But I love Jesus' response. See, Jesus didn't say, all right, Thomas, let me tell you the way to go. See, Thomas, follow the yellow brick road and you'll get there. This is what Jesus had to say. Jesus said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Tonight, my friends, you want to go to heaven? You got to go through the Savior. You're going to go through the Son before you ever meet the Father. I'll tell you something, my friends. There ain't no UPS going to get you there. And let me tell you something else, my friends. There ain't no Southwest Airlines going to fly you there. You can't fly there for no cheaper. I'll tell you something, my friends. There's only one way of getting there, and his name is Jesus. You don't go through the Son, you ain't going at all. You don't go through the Son, you're going to run into the Son, and you're going to run into hell. So I'm here to tell you tonight that you can go to heaven. You can reach this prepared place for you by coming to know Christ Jesus. It's that simple. It's simple as ABC. Jesus made it simple. You say, how do you figure that, preacher? How could salvation be that simple? Because God knew he was talking to simple people. God knew he was speaking to people who couldn't understand too much more than that. He knew who he was talking to. So he made it simple as ABC. A little child in the first grade elementary school could figure that out. How to go to heaven. ABC. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And he rose again on the third day. And then confess him as Lord. Make it happen tonight, my friends. If that's you tonight and you're lost, come to Christ Jesus before it's too late. And if you're saved tonight, my friends, please take this opportunity to share this tape with other people. Share this tape with your lost loved ones who who are on their way to hell. Share it with them so they can get saved and they can hear it and come to know Christ. It's a good message of love. It is a message of hope. Then it's a message of horror and torment. But I want to close tonight just to pray. And while I'm praying, I want you to just consider whether you're lost or whether you're saved, which place is going to be yours. And if heaven is your home, I want you to rejoice because Jesus paid the way for you. You don't need to cry anymore. I was thinking about this tonight in closing. There's no longer funeral services when Jesus walked in. Amen. Just ask old Lazarus what happened when Jesus walked into his funeral service. Lazarus didn't stay in the grave too long after that happened. Lazarus came forth. Just ask them old Jewish believers in the Old Testament what happened when Jesus came to their funeral service. To the resurrection, my friends. You know what the Matthew says? The book of Matthew says they were seen going around Jerusalem. They came out of them graves and they were shouting. So if you're saved tonight, there's no need to cry. There's no need to weep. Because you're on your way home. You're on your way to meet the Savior face to face. Rejoice. Rejoice, 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 Christian. Redemption draweth nigh. Yeah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Praise his holy, wonderful name. And if you're lost tonight, I feel sorry for you. Because I want to see you in heaven so bad. Father, Lord, I thank you for this message. Thank you for allowing me to preach this sermon. Now, Father, I pray this sermon be a blessing to those who hear it. Lord, if there's any lost to hear this message, Lord, may they not turn this tape off, Lord God, before they know Christ the Savior. Father, I pray this tape, Lord God, be a blessing. And Lord, I pray this tape will lead ones to Christ Jesus. Allow this to be a salvation message to be preached for all eternity. And I give you the praise and glory now in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preacher told about his love, about his saving grace, and how he came from heaven on Calvary, took my place. He said that he gave his life for me, died there in my stead. As I turned to walk away, this is what the preacher said. What you gonna tell me when you see him face to face? Will you say you refused his love? He didn't take your place. What you gonna gonna tell him on judgment day? I left the church that evening, not knowing what to do. The preacher's voice was in my ear. I knew each word was true. I knew someday that I'd meet him, and that his face I'd see. The words of that preacher man kept coming back to me. We never know the day nor hour when he shall come again. Or if by chance we're called away, what you gonna say, my friend?
letter on Sunday morning. Went to the church at 10. I listened to the words I'd heard time and time again. The preacher spoke of sinful lives. It seemed he spoke of mine. But I was young, I had plenty of time. I walked on down life's pathway, living as I wished to live. Out to beat the other fellow, out to get what life could give. Making money, having fun, it's no crime. So I'll just wait, 'cause I've got plenty of time. Plenty of time to decide where I'm bound. To eternal darkness or to heaven's ground. I'm just a young girl, not yet in my prime. So I'll just wait, 'cause I've got plenty of time. But before I knew what happened, life seems had passed away. And millions stood before God's throne, for it was Judgment Day. Now eternal darkness beckons, the name that He called was mine. But I thought that I had plenty of time. Of all the days that Christ, He could have been mine. Now my chance is over. Earth's days are left behind, and here am I with plenty of time. Now I've got nothing but plenty of time.
There is a time for everything, and there is a season.
Time.
reach out just now. Let your heart, let it make the vow. Now is the time to serve the Lord. Now is the time if you're your soul.